Gemara, when he talks about the story of Jewish history, the moral, so to speak, looks at the life of the Avos, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and he sees their life not just only as a Maisa Avos similar to Bonim, that everything they went through has ramifications and ripple effects on Klal Yisrael, but actually the lives of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov is actually the blueprint of the story of Jewish history. If you look at Avraham's life, followed by Yitzchak's life, followed by Yaakov's life, that is the story of Jewish history. If we would sum up Avraham Avinu's life in a nutshell, we would say that he had a very difficult beginning, struggling with his family, struggling with the whole world around him, to the point that he was actually physically thrown into a fire, or custom. Very difficult beginning, but afterwards, once we come to Parshas Lech Lecha, overall we can describe Avraham Avinu's life as a good life. It's true he had Nisyonis, but Nisyonis is not a bad life. It's the purpose of life. And as Rashi points out in several places, Esav did not go off the derech in Avraham's life. Terach, his father, even did tshuva in his lifetime. And even his son Yishmael did tshuva in his lifetime. So, or his lifetime, he did tshuva as well. So, when we look at the life of Avraham Avinu, it's a very difficult, dark beginning, but as life goes on, he went forward to a good experience, a good life. Says the Maharal, this parallels the first era of Jewish history. Klal Yisrael as a nation also had a very difficult beginning. Just like Avraham Avinu, so to speak, was thrown into the fire, we were also cast into the blazing Kur HaBarzel of Mitzrayim. Klal Yisrael went through a very difficult shibud at the beginning. But just like when Avraham Avinu had his Lech Lecha and entered Eretz Yisrael, similarly, once we entered Eretz Yisrael in the days of Yeshua ben Nun, they were good days. In fact, the Pasuk testifies that in the days of Yeshua, Klal Yisrael were good, Kol Yimei Yeshua, V'chol Yimei Hazkenim, Asherichu Yomim Achari Yeshua. Klal Yisrael, generally, were in good shape throughout the days of Yeshua and the Zkenim after Yeshua. Says the Maharal, enter Yitzchak Avinu, the life of Yitzchak Avinu. In a nutshell, if we had to define his life, he had a good life. Nobody's chasing him or attacking him. Yitzchak Avinu, generally, we find him in a state of safety. Yitzchak has a good life. Esav was a rasha, but again, the pasuk is very clear. In Yitzchak's eyes, Esav was quite unique. His kibudav was something outstanding. The life of Yitzchak was a good life, from the beginning, through the middle, until we get towards the end of his life. When we come towards the end of his life, the pasuk says that Yitzchak became blind. Blind is already Yisurim. Blind is already Choshev Kemes. Says the Maharal, the life of Yitzchak Avinu is a good life, a continuation of a good life, but then when we come towards the twilight, the end of his life, things darken and the tzaras set in. Says the Maharal, picking up from where we left off, this is a continuation of Jewish history. Again, as you travel through the era of Navi, the days of Sefer Shmuel, and then you get to the pinnacle of Jewish history, the greatest moments that have ever happened so far, the days of Shlomo HaMelech building by his Rishon, Ishtachas Gafnoi, Ishtachas Teinosoi, this was utopia. If we've ever had utopia, it was then. But then, so to speak, the sun begins to set. Darkness approaches as we go down Sefer Menachem, and especially when you come towards the end of it. The last king, Tzidkiyahu, his eyes were gouged out and he was blinded. That corresponds symbolically to Yitzchak becoming blinded. And now we are plunged into a bitter, dark golos. The Churban HaBayis occurs immediately after that. Says the Maharal, that's the life of Yitzchak. Again, not just Maisa Avos Simin Lebonim, but the blueprint of Jewish history. Enter Yaakov Avinu. The life of Yaakov Avinu, from the moment he comes into this world, is tzoras. He has his twin Esav with him. He suffers from Esav. He suffers from Lavan. And we're not talking about short-term tzoras. These are long decades of tzoras. Tragedies from the loss of Yosef in his lifetime. Yosef einenu, Shimon einenu. Incredible tzoras Yaakov Avinu has from the beginning all the way through his life until we come towards the end of his life. Towards the end of his life, Yaakov Avinu, the last 17 years, Begematria Tov, he falls into the arms, reunites with his son Yosef, the family is together, and the last 17 years of Yaakov's life are good years. Again, 17 Begematria Tov. Says the Maharal, this corresponds to the last era of Jewish history. From the moment the Churban happened, although there was a Bayis Sheni, but many things were missing, it wasn't the same. And it's been a long and dark Golos. Even during the Tkufa of Bayis Sheni, there was Tzoros. It's been a long, bitter Golos ever since darkness came. And it's been like that for millennia. But just like towards the end of Yaakov's life, once again, the Ur was a Reach, everything came together, and in fact, Sefer Bereishis ends with coming back to Eretz Yisrael. Similarly, that's what's going to happen B'Achris HaYomim. B'Achris HaYomim, when everything comes together once again, Klal Yisrael once again will be in a situation of Toiv, says the Maharal, Chas V'Shalom, to think that the utopia of the end of days will just be 17 years. A remez what Chazal say, Yaakov Avinu Loi Meis. Whatever that means, but it's going to be much longer than just 17 years of this wonderful experience. Says the Maharal, this is the life of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and once again, this is the blueprint of Jewish history. Interestingly, he adds that the three tefillahs, the obvious, were Mesakin. Avraham was Mesakin Shachris, Yitzchak, Mincha, Yaakov, Mariv, is not just by coincidence, but again, the tefillah is, so to speak, the definition of their lives. Shachris is Avraham's life, Yitzchak, Mincha, and Yaakov, Mariv. Shachris, just like Avraham Avinu's life, leads from darkness, the sun rises, and we go into a brighter day, which is the life of Avraham, a dark beginning, which leads into a bright continuation. Yitzchak's tefillah mincha can already be davened when the sun is at the highest point. It's extremely bright and glittering outside. Yitzchak had a good life, but as we know, it can be afterwards continued on till Shkia, sometimes well after Shkia. Mincha is a tefillah which goes towards the darkness. And then Yaakov Avinu's life, which is Mariv, begins with Choshech. Long, dark night, but just like at the end of every dark night, once again, the Oyer HaShachar approaches. Shachar is the same oasis as Shochar, which is dark, black, but the darkest moments of the night are just before, once again, the sun shines. Just like the night leads into day and brightness, similarly Yaakov's life led into the Oyer. So, Yaakov Avinu's life is the story of our current lives. The Golos, the dark Golos, and we are approaching towards the end of those days. And we read last Shabbos in Haftarah, or this, I should say, this coming Shabbos in Haftarah, and we read also the first day Sukkos. The Novi Zechariah, the last Perek in Zechariah, is what we read so far in the Mitzvah Shabbos. We can read Perek Lamed Ches of Yecheskel. These are some of the Nevuos which talk about the final showdown of the end of days. Milchemes Goyig Umagig. There's going to be a tremendous Milchama at the end of days, which Chazal referred to, the Psukim referred to as Milchemes Goyig Umagig. It's not exactly clear how this will play out. Will this be a physical battle of some sort? The Psukim seem to be mashma that all the nations of the world, the Vilnagorn in one place points out, Goyig Umagig is Gematria 70, symbolic of the Shivim Umois, that will all come and merge into Yerushalayim and attack Klal Yisrael. And that will be, again, the final showdown. According to the Rambam in Hilchos Melachim, it seems to be it's going to be even after the stage of Mashiach's original arrival. But it's not 100% clear to us what exactly will happen, and the Rambam is very clear that all these things, you have to wait and see how they unfold. For the Sfarim of Tzadik HaKohen and others discuss this Milchama as not just only being a physical battle, but an ideological battle. And this is going to be relevant to every one of us in how we, so to speak, prepare ourselves and behave accordingly for whatever this battle will be. finds the roots of the word goig, as in the word gag, which is the roof, the physical protection of a person. So to speak, every person has a roof over their head where they feel secure and they feel safe, in control of their own destiny, in control of their own safety. And as the Torah tells us, this showdown is going to be, that's why you read the Haftarah, over the Yom Tov of Sukkos, Milchemes Goig u'Magog. So we have, so to speak, the ideological battle between the world of the roof, Goig, Gag, and the world of the Sukkah. The flimsy branches and leaves that in no way serve as a physical protection in the way that we understand it in our physical world. But as we know, the tzilus of the Me'emunusa, the bitachon that we have to have by looking up towards those leaves and realizing where our bitachon comes from. And seeing that Einoid Mulvada, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is our Shmira, he's our protection. And this will be, so to speak, the ideological battle. That the world of Koichivoyt, the world of power, self-power, versus the feeling of dependency on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What's very interesting is, Sfarim point out that we know that the Aleph Beis, every letter of the Aleph Beis, has great depth to it. The Gemara Masechtas Shabbos Perek Havoyne analyzes the Seder of the Aleph Beis, the sequence of the Aleph Beis. There's a reason why Aleph comes before Beis, and Beis before Gimel, etc. And the Gemara there analyzes the letters Gimel Dalet. Gimel Dalet, says the Gemara, Gemoil Dalim. Gimel Dalet, Gemoil Dalim. Which literally means to do charity, Gemilas Chesed, Dalim with the poor. The Gemara points out that the physical shapes of those letters teach us lessons. The Gimel is like, so to speak, somebody standing up, taking a stride forward, the foot of the Gimel stepping forward, symbolizing that the person who's in a place of being the donor, giving, you should take the first initiative, you take the first step to the poor person. Don't wait for the poor person to have to come to you. The Gemara points out that the Gimel is facing the back of the Dalet when you put them together, to remind us that when we do charity, and we give charity, we should do it behind the back of the person, not embarrassing them, doing it, so to speak, in a way that they don't realize where it's coming from, etc. Gimel Dalet. So, the Mefarshim explained that here Chazal are not just telling us drushes on Gimel and Dalet, or any of those letters. They are defining the letters. Gimel, based on this Gemara, teaches us that the Gimel is symbolic of being self-sufficient, being the one who's in a place of giving, not dependent, but independent. I'm the one who can now be the donor. I'm the goymil. That's why many words that have that Gimel word in it illustrate this independence and self-sufficient concept. For example, a gomel is a camel. A camel is self-sufficient. It can go into the wilderness for days and not need the water, and not being dependent on the water of the outside. It carries it within itself. Vayigomel hanar, we find in Tanakh. Vayigomel means the child was weaned. When a baby is weaned, it's now to a degree self-sufficient. It's not so dependent on the mother as it was until now. So vayigomel, gomel, gemilus chesed, all have this connotation of being self-sufficient, independent, managing on our own, so to speak. That's the world of Gimel. The letter Dalet, again, Chazal are defining the Dalet as being dependent. The concept of being dependent, feeling unworthy, feeling undeserving, any of those ideas are hinted to also in the word, in the letter Dalet. For example, the way you would write out the letter Dalet is Dalet Lamed Tov. That's the correct way of spelling the letter fully. Dalet is the same letters as the word delet. A delet is a door. A delet is dependent upon hinges to be a delet. If it wouldn't have hinges, it would collapse. There's a certain dependency that the letter Dalet symbolizes. So Gimel is more independent, self-sufficient. Dalet means dependent, feelings of unworthiness, etc. So Zub Tzadik HaKohen, based on this, we can have an appreciation of the tribe where Malchus is to be found. Malchus is to be found in Shevet Yehuda. Yehuda is Malchus, and everything about that word, screams Malchus. Das Kelim one place points out that Yehuda's Gematria 30, and we know the Mishnah in Ovis tells us that Malchus Niknis B'Shloishim Milas. By no coincidence, Yehuda's Gematria 30, all the 30 privileges, prerogatives that a king has are to be found in that Shevet. But as a Tzadik HaKohen, if we analyze the word itself, Yehuda is made up of a Dalet plus Yud Kei Vav Kei HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name. In the name Yehuda, you have the letter Dalet, which again illustrates this point of dependency, feeling unworthy and undeserving. And the essence of Yehuda is all about, I feel undeserving, I feel unworthy. And the key point, I feel dependent on the remaining letters of my name, Yud Kei Vav Kei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this is the essence of Malchus. Malchus be Yisrael, is all about the honor that we give him, and at the same time the feeling of dependency and humility that this king lives with and behaves with all his life. So you have the Dalet plus the Yud Kei Vav Kei. Actually, when we think about why Leah originally called him Yehuda, this is a chazal which we're all familiar with, but we can appreciate this more. She called him B'nevuah, she knew that there's going to be, as all the Amorites knew, there's going to be 12 children, and there's 4 wives, which means, according to the calculation, every one of the wives should have had 3 children. And this was number 4. What a wonderful name. This is the 4th child, Dalet is Gematria 4. This is the 4th child that I don't deserve. I don't deserve number 4. Hapam oide es Hashem, she said. What a wonderful name, Yehuda. The Dalet, which is again, Gematria 4, it's the 4th child. It's the letter of dependency, unworthiness, the feeling of I don't deserve it. Plus Yud Kei Vav Kei, clearly stating to whom I have to thank and who I'm reliant on in every area. With that name, she injected the very essence and the Milui HaTafkid of the concept of Malchus. In fact, the Panei Haraza points out, if you write the name Yehuda fully, i.e. the Milui of the name Yehuda, in other words, you'd write Yud, Yud, Vav, Dalet, Hey, Hey, Yud, Vav, Vav, Dalet, Lamed, Tof, and Hey, Yud, Yehuda, write it out the Milui, you'll see it has the exact same gematria as the word Malchus. In other words, the Milui, the whole concept of Yehuda, is Malchus. Yehuda's gematria is 30, the Milui of his name is gematria Malchus, and the very letters of his name scream the message of how the Torah views a Melech B'Yisrael. Yehuda. Sefer Sforim, the greatest king, and now we can appreciate his name, the greatest king ever to come from Yehuda so far, is David. David HaMelech. By no coincidence, David in his name has a Dalet at the beginning of his name, then comes the Vav, followed by the Dalet at the end of his name. In other words, this message of dependency, this message of feeling unworthy, screams from every single page of Tehillim. From every single page of Tehillim, this message is to be found. Parenthetically, he testifies himself, we said it today in Davening, that everything that he got comes from his ancestors Rus. Ani avdecha ben amosecha, the poverty-stricken Rus, the one who was so humiliated and so humble and so totally dependent on HaKadosh Baruch Hu for her very existence. And when Chazal say in Masechtas Brachas, why was she called Rus? Because from her came David HaMelech Sheriveu HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'Shiris Shvachis. From her came David HaMelech, who Kaviyachol saturated HaKadosh Baruch Hu with his songs and praises. Chazal are telling you that the essence of Sefer Tehillim comes from his ancestors Rus, which again has this very, very message to her name and to her very essence. It's interesting, once again, if we're talking about the Milui, Svarim point out, very interesting, that if you write out the Milui of Tehillim, the word Tehillim, you will see it has the exact gematria of Rus with the Kohel. Again, a remez that it all comes from her, but it eventually plays out in the life of David and screams through every page of Tehillim. Once again, the Dalet at the beginning the feeling of undeserving everything I have in my life and depends on you, Hashem. The Vav is symbolic of, so to speak, the chibur milamala, the straight line, the shefa that comes down to this world. And then often we feel, if it came to me, obviously I must deserve it. If Hashem sent it to me, I must deserve it. But David HaMelech never had that attitude. I don't feel I deserved it beforehand, and even when it does come down to me, even if I am successful, even if I am given all of a sudden wealth, health, power, brains, whatever it might be, once again, he humbles himself, he makes himself subservient with the Dalet at the end as well. This is Yehuda, this is Malchus Yehuda, this is David, and this is Moshiach ben David. When we refer to Moshiach ben David, we refer to him as the Oni Haroichev Alachamer. When we call him the Oni, we're not discussing his bank account details. We're discussing his very essence. The Ani Sadas. When we'll see Moshiach, we will see somebody who screams dependency. And it seems that we all need to connect to that in one way or another. There's a Chazal, which has become a famous song recently. B'shor Shemelech HaMashiach Bo. It's very interesting, Chazal. It really needs to be thought about. You know, it seems to me that Mashiach will be there already. There'll be a Beis HaMikdash already. He'll be standing on the roof of the Beis HaMikdash. And he'll announce to everyone, all of us, Anovim, Anovim. He's referring to us as Anovim. It seems we all need to identify with that Anova. Higi azman geulaschem. V'me'ein atem ma'minim. Marid ha'kechidesh. There's a Havamina that after all that will still be Eina Maminim. After all that, they're standing on the Gag of the Beis HaMikdash, Mashiach's there. There still could be a Havamina of Bimein Atem Maminim. Re'u Ba'oiri Shezerech. Look at the light that shines from me. It seems to be that the ultimate proof will be not just that the Beis HaMikdash will be built and Yerushalayim will be in our control, but mankind will have come to its tikkun, and the ultimate proof will be that Mashiach, the shining face of Mashiach, i.e. the total screaming message of his dependency on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which will finally bring the Tikkun HaAdam to the world. As the Sforim point out, Adam, on his tremendous Madrega, he sins, and that's, it seems that absolute dependency on HaKadosh Baruch Hu wasn't 100% there. Then he looked through the annals of history to see who can be Masak in that. He found the Nefesh of David HaMelech, donated 70 years of his life. And what David continued, Mashiach would eventually finish. As the Sforim point out, Adam is Aleph, Dalad, Mem. Aleph is Adam, Dalad is David, and Mem is Mashiach. He will complete the final journey, the final stages of the Tikkun HaOlam. So that's Mashiach ben David. Don't even know his name. It's not all about him. When we'll see him, we will see someone who screams, it's not about me, it's all about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That was what David was. Va'ani tefillah. Tefillah la'oni. All these psukim, as they say, every perek and page of Tehillim screams this message. And that's what Mashiach will be like as well. And the final showdown will be against what is referred to as Goig Umogig. We're going to read the Haftarah on Shabbos. Goig, what an interesting name. But Goig is the antithesis of David. If David is Dalet Vav Dalet, Goig is Gimel Vav Gimel. As we saw in that Gemara Masechta Shabbos, Dalet is the letter of dependency. Dalet is the letter of feeling unworthy. Gimel, on the other hand, is the letter that symbolizes like Gomel, Vayigomel, Gemilus Chesed. I'm the one in a position now of being self-sufficient, independent. The Gomel can manage by itself. The baby's weaned, it can manage independently. The world of Gimel, Vav, Gimel, the ideological world of Gimel, Vav, Gimel that we live in, and we witness wherever we turn in our days, i.e. we can manage on our own. We have power. We have resources. We have money. We have military might. We have technology. We have science. We have the capability of doing everything. And even if, let's say, once in a while, the Vav, symbolically, we are humbled, and something comes down from up there showing you, you know something, maybe realize that this hurricane or this earthquake, surely it should bring you to your knees, surely it should bring you to a certain humility to realize you don't control the Bria, you don't control the world. So rather than being humbled by that experience, once again, the Gimel comes back. You know what? We'll make even a bigger tower this time than ever before. And we'll just call the hurricane some sort of friendly name, Andrew or Barbara, or some other name, instead of calling it, I know, Hurricane Shrek or something, to somehow other realize that we've been humiliated here. But no, the Milchama of Goyig, Gimel Vav Gimel, versus the world of Dalet Vav Dalet. That's going to be the final showdown, the Achris Hayom. And this is what the Navi is talking about, this is what Navi is telling us. And if we look carefully over the last couple of weeks, the various Haftarahs, we haven't got time to go into them, but the various Haftarahs, whether it's the story of Chana, Shiras Chana, the Radak there learns that Shiras Chana and the whole story of Chana, besides being this personal story with Chana and Penina, the Radak there learns that it's also symbolically a mashal to Knesset Yisrael. Chana, the Akora, Klal Yisrael, Roni Akora. We've got very few people. How many Yidden are there in the world, says the Radak? Very small amount of people. But the Rabbas Bonim, the one who has so many children, symbolically Penina, she's constantly humiliating and causing pain to Kavayochol Yakor. But eventually the day will come, and he says Beferish, the Radak, Beferish talks about Gog and Magog there, in the Shira, base of Shmuel. Eventually there'll be the great metamorphosis, the great switch around, that all of a sudden Rabbas Bonim Umlola, all of a sudden the one who had so many children will be on the down, and the Akora will all of a sudden be the one on top. But again, this message of dependency is something we find screaming through Chana's life. One of the reasons, although it happened on Rosh Hashanah, etc., according to some, but one of the messages we take on Rosh Hashanah from Shiras Chana, from the whole story of Chana, is the pasuk of Atispalel Al Hashem. What does it mean, Atispalel Al Hashem? You daven to Hashem, not on Hashem. So Rav Chaim Volozhin has one pshat, but the pasuk pshat, she came to a point through her tzaras that there's nobody to rely upon. Not even her husband, the god Lador Elkanah. And the Malbim there learns that she was being weaned away from even that walking stick. Even those crutches, her holy husband, the god Lador Elkanah, he'll make sure I have children through his tefillahs. But it came to a point, he made a comment to her by saying, I'm better for you than 10 children. In those words, says the Malbim, she sensed a certain yush that she'll ever have a child as far as he was concerned. And then she came to the place we all need to come to. Batispalel al Hashem. Stop relying on this and stop relying on that. Re'u ki ani anihu, says the pasuk in Hazinu, that we have to come to a point that there's no one else, there's nowhere else, not this ally and not that ally, or not this technology and not that technology, not this missile or that missile. Total dependency on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That is what she teaches us. And that's what we have to be able to make this great turnabout that will happen at the end of days. And again, we haven't got time to go into this, but the story of Yonah, which we read on Yom Kippur, also has this message, and this is what we're davening throughout Yom Niroim, that we ask Hashem, Meloich al kol ha'olam kulo b'chvedecha, v'inosi al kolam, v'yeda kol pol kiata b'alte, v'yovin, that everyone should come to that realization, that ein oid mulvadi, that the world of David, Dalet Vav Dalet, as opposed to Gimel Vav Gimel, that concept of total awareness and dependency on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we find in Sefer Yonah as well. Chazal tell us, Rashi brings it, that on the boat there were 70 people from 70 different nations on that boat. People don't really focus on this enough, this part of Yonah. There were 70 people on the boat for 70 different reasons. There were 70 ambassadors from different nations. Bashkocha process came on that boat. And it was because of the Jew that the whole shakeabout occurred, and Taka, that's what happens. Whatever we daven for Rosh Hashanah, in a microcosm, happened on that boat. Chazal tell us, Rashi brings it, every one of them did tshuva, Every one of them became Geri Tzedek. Valeim Nema Valgeri Tzedek in Ashmoyin Esri, says the Medrash. And they all did Bris Milah and moved to Yerushalayim. It was like a microcosm of what's going to be B'Akras Yomim, all because of the Jew. And I once discussed with the Ramosh Shapiro Shliti, he pointed out to me that Yoino's Gematria 71. The Jew, plus all the 70, all coming to its Tafkid, all coming because of this great shakeabout where it needs to get to. And again, Yoino also reached a point of total dependency. Realizing that the boat's shaking, he went to sleep and realized, I'm completely in his hands. Or in the belly of the fish, claustrophobically locked up there, no one else to turn to other than HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what brings about, and that's how we have to behave to be able to survive this tremendous turnabout. And Be'ezer Hashem, if we'll do this and we'll link to these messages, then as the Navi said in the Haftarah that we just read from the end of Zechariah, one of the psukim there is, V'hoya Hashem lemelech al kol ha'oretz, b'yoy mahu ye Hashem echad u'shmo echad. Says the Shlo HaKadosh, we say this every day, echad u'shmo echad, the last letters of those three words, Dalad Vav Dalad. Echad is Dalad, Ushmoy is Vav, and Echad once again is Dalad. That's where the world has to get to, and Malchus Beis David, Mashiach ben David, will bring the world to that Tikkun B'mehir of Yomein. Amen.